Amen. Thank you, Pam, for reminding us he's what we need. Amen. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that when Jesus is all that you have, you'll discover that he's all you need. Amen. Have you ever been there before? When he was all you had and you discovered, hey, he was sufficient for our every need. And I'm so thankful for that today, and I know you are too. I pray today that you've been ministered to through the music ministry of our church. I've been ministered to today to sing these great songs that we know whom we have believed, and we're persuaded that he is able to keep that which we've committed unto him. And then great is his faithfulness. And we can sing of the healer and the fact that the Lord is all we need today. And I thank God for that in this time. As you know, I've been preaching a series of sermons in this new year about living above the level of mediocrity. God never intended his people to live mediocre. He intended us to live in victory. The Bible speaks about that often, that we could have victory in Jesus and victory in the walk that we have with him. But I have presented to you that every person here every Sunday is in one of three places. Either you're in Egypt, where the children of Israel were, which was the land of bondage, where they had to labor and labor and labor. And by the way, that land is the land that the Bible speaks about. The New Testament equivalent of that is Ephesians 2, where it says you were dead in trespasses and sins. You walked according to the course of the world. You were dominated by Satan. That is Egypt. But God never intended his people to stay in Egypt. He raised up a leader, Moses, to bring them out of Egypt. And you know, you've seen that great movie about Moses where he puts the rod down and it parts the Red Sea and they go over on dry land. They go over and get out of Egypt and then they go to the wilderness. They get on the brink of the Canaan land. By the way, Canaan, some people say that's heaven. But I want you to know that in heaven, there'll be no more fighting in heaven. In Canaan, there was fighting. In heaven, there'll be no more difficulties. In Canaan, there were difficulties. In Canaan, there was sin. In heaven, there'll be no more sin. Praise God. We'll be delivered from all of that. We'll have a brand new life. That's what the Lord gives us. But I want you to know that God does not want you to stay in the wilderness. The wilderness for the believer is the life of lack of peace, lack of purpose, lack of fruit in your life. God does not want you to stay there. He wants you to go over the promised land. Remember, we've been looking in the book of Joshua. If you have a copy of the scripture, I ask you to turn to that book. It's in the Old Testament, not far from the book of Genesis. Now, you know, in the book of Joshua, God's going to lead his people. The generation, because of their unbelief, died out in the wilderness. That generation died out. But there were two men, Joshua and Caleb, who said, listen, we could take the land because God's given it to us. And they go into the land. In chapter 3, we've looked together how they went into the land. They went into that land because of the fact that they were obedient to the plan of God. God gave them a plan. He said, I want you to follow the Ark of the Covenant that the priests will be carrying, and as soon as their feet hit the Jordan waters are going to part, and you're going to go over on dry land. And by the way, the Bible tells us very clearly that the Jordan was at flood stage in this time. It wasn't 3 inches of water, folks. It was at flood stage. But I want you to know, they followed the Ark of the Covenant. They kept their eyes, and that Ark represented the power, the presence, and the provision of God, and the direction of God. They kept their eyes on God. They sanctified themselves. Chapter 3, verse 5. And then they depended on the power of God. And then you remember, as they were in the midst of the Jordan, God told them that I want you to take 12 stones from the Jordan. These 12 stones, they were going to build a memorial, and this memorial was going to be built in such a way that every time the children of God looked at this memorial of these 12 stones, they were going to be able to tell how God was with them, how God gave them the power to go over the Jordan, how God provided for them, how God took care of them in the wilderness. It was going to remind them of what the God had done. You remember, they're going to carry these 12 stones, one for each tribe. They're going to carry them about 8 miles to Gilgal. Now, Gilgal was a very special place in the Bible because that was kind of the home base for the children of Israel. That's where they went back to. When they went through trouble, they went back to Gilgal. Sometimes in our life, we need to go back to Gilgal. Gilgal, for us, would be the place where God saved us. Do you remember whenever you got saved? Do you remember that? You remember that place, that time you were saved? By the way, you should have been there when it happened. And sure enough, whenever you got saved, you remember that time, and you go back to that time and reminds you of what God did in your life. It reminds you of His grace. It reminds you of His peace. It reminds you of His forgiveness. We go back to Gilgal. But they were to carry these 12 stones. And by the way, they put them on their shoulder. These weren't no little rocks. They put them on their shoulder, and they carried them 8 miles to Gilgal, and the Bible says God brought the victory. Look at chapter 4, the last part of chapter 4. I want you to see this. In verse 19, and the people came out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. By the way, Jericho was about 2 miles from Gilgal, okay? And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spoke unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what means these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you, until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us, until we had gone over. That all the people, don't miss this, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you might fear the Lord your God forever. He says, hey, I want you to understand there's a reason for those stones. They're reminders of what God has done. And I was thinking as I started preaching last Sunday on what should some of those stones be for us. What are some of those stones for us? And as I mentioned last Sunday, I mentioned three, you remember? And let me just bring you up to pace with that. As I mentioned the three stones of last Sunday, first of all, the presence of God. The first stone represents the presence of God. May I tell you, there's not a place you go that God is not with you. There's not a situation you go through that you're alone. The Bible says in Hebrews, He will never leave us or forsake us. Hebrews 13:5. In Psalm 23:4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We need His presence, folks. And without His presence, we're in trouble. But not only did we look at His presence, we looked at His power. May I tell you today, there's nothing too difficult for our God. In Jeremiah 33, we find that the Lord told Jeremiah, you call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God is all-powerful. No matter what you're facing, God has the power to deliver. God has the power to help you through that dark time in your life, through that tunnel that you go through. Sometimes we wonder when we're going through that tunnel and we see the light on the other end. We wonder if that's a train or not. And we pray it isn't. We pray it's the Lord. And sure enough, He is the light. And it is the Lord waiting for us to come out on the other side. But then we looked at the third thing, the provision of God. The presence of God, the power of God, and the provision of God. May I tell you what the provision of God? It is the foreseen care and guidance of God. Do you believe God can provide for you today? Do you believe He can take your circumstances and turn them to for your good and for His glory? That's what the Bible says. Romans 8:28, by the way, is a promise for believers. If you know the Lord, this is a promise for you. This is the family secret that O.S. Hawkins mentions. It's the family secret that every family of God should know. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. May I tell you today, God will provide for us. He provided for Moses as he was there. All he had was a rod. He said, "What is that in your hand?" He says, "A rod." He said, "Throw it down," and it became a snake. Moses backed up. And God says, "I want you to pick it up by the tail." And he picked it up and became the rod of God. And it was with that rod that he struck the rock and water came forth. It was with that rod that he parted the Red Sea. It was with that rod that he stood on the top of the mountain with Aaron on one side and Hur on the other side. And they lifted up his arms, and Joshua was down in the valley bringing the victory to God's people. With the rod of God, God brought power. He provided for them in a time that they needed provision. So we have the power of God. We have the presence of God. We have the provision of God. But next, I want you to know the next stone I want to mention is the all-knowing God. He's omniscient. May I tell you what? There's not a thing in your life, in my life, that God does not know completely about. The devil wants you to believe a lie. And the lie is that nobody cares about you, that nobody knows what you're going through, that nobody really even cares a bit of what's going on in your life. But I want you to know that's a lie from the enemy. Because God cares, and God knows every heartache that's here today. He knows every one of us that are going through strife. He knows every one of us that are going through fear. He knows every one of us that are facing a family problem, that are facing a physical problem, that are facing a problem at work. Whatever that problem is, I want you to know it's not too great for our God. He is all wise, and He is all knowing. Listen to what the scripture tells us in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. It says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." In other words, God's ways are not our ways. He is the all-knowing and all-wise God. The Bible says in Psalm 32:8, He will instruct us in the way that we should go. The Lord knows what we're going through. And if you read the scripture, you'll know that to be true. Does not the book of Psalm 139, tell us about the all-knowing God? Listen to what it says. Psalm 139, it says, "Lord, you have searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting." He knows when you sit down. He says, "You know my uprising." He knows when you get up. He knows every thought from afar. He compassed your path and you're lying down. He's acquainted with all your ways. Listen to me today. "For there is not a word that of my tongue, but lo, thou knowest it together. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and you have laid your hand on me." It says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. He says, whether I go from thy spirit or whether I flee from thy presence, if I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I go and make my bed in hell, or the word there is the word Sheol, the place of death, you are there. The Lord, whenever I take my wings and I in the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you are there. In fact, it tells us in Psalm 139, listen to me today, God has his hand on us in our mother's womb. By the way, that baby in the mother's womb belongs to God. This coming Tuesday, you're going to go to the voting booth, and one of the propositions in the state of Texas is the fact that we can say we do not believe in abortion. And I'm going to ask you to vote yes for that. That we do not believe in abortion. We believe that that child at the point of conception is a living being. Because the Bible says God had his hand on you in your mother's womb. He knew everything about you. He knew your inner parts. He knew everything about you. And here's the wonderful thing. The God who knows everything about you loves you so deeply. He wants you so wonderfully to have a relationship with him. He's the one who knows and sees all, and he's the one who wants a relationship with you. That'll blow your mind today, that the God of this universe that literally spoke this world into being in 6 days, he is the one who wants to have a relationship with us. But he knows us. And folks, let me tell you what. If we don't stand up for the unborn, who will? We need to stand on the principle of God's word. And when we stand on the principle of God's word, God always honors his people. Can you imagine when those little children looked at that memorial there and their parents would say, you know what? Our God's all powerful. Our God is able to provide for us. Our God's present with us. But our God's also all-knowing. And we're thankful for the fact that we have an all-knowing God today. And then the fifth stone I want you to look at today is the stone of protection. Protection. May I tell you today, he will limit the pressure of your trials and temptations that you'll be able to bear it. The promise of God's word, listen to it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer or permit you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Aren't you glad that we have a God that is our protector, a God that no matter the temptation that comes our way, let me tell you what, temptation, don't miss this day, temptation is not sin. Yielding to temptation is sin. Every one of us in this place, including this pastor, we're tempted every week. We're tempted every day. The enemy tries to tempt us, tries to ensnare us. James chapter 1 speaks very clearly about this, that God does not tempt us to do evil. God does not do that. That's the enemy, the devil, who wants to tempt us to do evil. But I want you to know that God is able to protect us in the most difficult times. There is no limit to the time that he will help you through that time, that you, as you wait upon him, even in that hardship, even in that pressure, God will be faithful and true, and he will protect you. One of my favorite psalms in all the Bible is Psalm 91. I want to encourage you to read it this week. Psalm 91 says that we're under the shadow of the Almighty. We're under the wings of God. And under those wings, he says, will I make my refuge? And he says, there shall be no evil come upon you. There shall be no plague come upon you. Because why? Listen to me. The Lord will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. If you're a believer, let me tell you something. You have an angel assigned to you today. Do you know that? You have an angel assigned to you today. One of the best books I ever read on angels was by Billy Graham, by the way. If you want a good book on angels, get the book by Billy Graham. We know this last week, we saw his home going. Wasn't that wonderful? I was off on Friday, and I got to watch that. And that blessed my heart. Because you know what? They lifted up Jesus. And that's what a funeral ought to do. Lift up the name of Jesus. They honored his life, but they lifted up Jesus. But listen to me. God gives us an angel. He has an angel assigned to every believer. And they're there to protect you. They're there to guide you. They're there to provide for you. Throughout the scriptures, angels came to take care of God's people. You remember when Daniel was in the lion's den? Who did God send in the lion's den? He sent an angel in the lion's den. And the Bible says the angel shut the mouth of the lions. You imagine that? God took care of Daniel. May I tell you, he got thrown into the lion's den because he was praying three times a day. But let me tell you, he prayed three times a day before the lion's den. He prayed three times a day in the lion's den. And he prayed three times after the lion's den. That's when God sent his angel, sure enough, to take care of him. He will protect us, folks. The God who protected Job. You say, but Job lost everything. Let me tell you what. Don't ever forget what Job said. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He says, for my Redeemer liveth, and one day my eyes shall see him because of the fact that God was with him through trials. But don't forget, in the very end of Job, don't forget the story. God restored back everything that he had lost. And even more, God's able to do that. He protects us. God is a God of protection in our lives. That's number five. Number six this morning, the sixth stone that I want to look at is the stone of grace. The stone of grace. Where would we be without the grace of God? I tell you today, without the grace of God, none of us would be here today. You have a copy of the scripture. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians this morning. I want to deal a little bit more with this because there's some people here that need this word today. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. May I tell you today, that wonderful grace of Jesus. I love that song. We sing it. Amen. That's an old song. Wonderful grace of Jesus. Greater than all our sin. How shall my tongue describe him? How shall his grace begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. Oh, the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. By the way, the grace of Jesus wants to reach you today. And the grace of Jesus is here today, and it's reaching out to you that are here. The grace that God wants to give you. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he had been through a lot. If you read chapter 11, it tells us that he went through shipwreck. He was stoned with rocks at Lystra because he preached the gospel. He was whipped 5 times, 39 times. It tells us that he was in the perils of robbers, in the perils of his own countrymen. He went through so much, the Apostle Paul went through. But I want you to know there was one thing he went through that God did not see fit to deliver him from, and that was the thorn in the flesh. None of us know what that thorn in the flesh was, but I want you to remember that God does have a purpose for allowing the thorns in our lives. God does have a purpose for allowing thorns in our life. Many times we struggle to understand why we face the thorn. Sometimes, by the way, listen to me, this side of heaven will never understand. You hear me today? We'll never understand. It would be very easy for each of us to question God. Your pastor could question God. I could say, God, I went through cancer, and you put me in remission now for almost 8 years, but now for almost 3 years, every 3 weeks, I take immune treatment that makes me very ill. God, why would you let that happen? But you know what? I've never questioned God. Because see, I'm aware of the fact that our God has a purpose for everything. And he alone can take our thorn and use it in our lives. Even though we don't understand, we still trust God. We're to rejoice that God will work through the thorn. Listen to me. May I tell you some things about the thorn? And look at what it says here. Let me just read a little bit of the scripture here, just in case you don't understand what I'm talking about. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And notice what it says here. The messenger of Satan. In other words, he identifies the source of the thorn was not God, it was the devil. Amen. God allowed it though, because God allowed, everything has got to come through the filter of God's perfect will. He says, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times that it would depart from me. And it didn't depart. Listen to me. May I tell you what a thorn does? A thorn will draw you closer to God. Now, some here today are facing a thorn that is greater than you, but not greater than our God. May I tell you that today? There's some of you that are saying, man, I'm facing a thorn, Pastor, and it's greater than me. Some of you are facing depression today. And by the way, depression's a real thing. It's a medical imbalance in your brain. So when someone says they have depression, don't look at them and say, no, you're just crazy. Because they're not crazy. Your own pastor went through depression himself several years ago, many years ago when I was younger, had to do 2 years I was on medication for depression. I just wanted to reveal that to you today. I'm not ashamed of it because there was an imbalance in my brain. But you know what? Thank God he delivered me from that. But I had to go on the medication. Sometimes we have to. God uses different means. Some today, the thorn for you is sickness. Some, it's finances. Some today, the thorn for you is an addiction. Some addiction you have. Some is fear. The thorn you face is fear. You walk in fear day after day. Some of your thorns today are the past. You're always looking in the past and saying, I can't forgive myself for what I did years ago. By the way, I got good news today. God forgave you. And not only did he forgive you, again, Psalm 139, it says he takes our sin and he removes it as far as is the east from the west and he remembers it no more. And if God forgives and forgets, so must we. You got to be willing to forgive yourself. Some thorns today are discouragement. Some are anger. Some thorns are marital problems or weaknesses. Some thorns today are listening to the devil saying, you're not good enough. You can't ever measure up to what you need to be. Your past will always be with you. Those are some of the thorns we face. But listen to me today, church. I want you to hear this. God is able to help us through the thorn. The thorn will make you, catch this, less dependent on yourself and more dependent on God. You say, how do you know that, Brother Jerry? Well, look at the passage here. Notice what he said. Verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and distresses, for Christ's sake, that for when I am weak, catch this, then I am strong. The weaker you are, the stronger he is. Don't miss that, because some of us need that today. The thorn will make you less depend on yourself and more depend on God. When I'm weak, he is strong. The thorn will lead you to a maturing faith. James 1 says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be complete and mature, lacking nothing. The promise of God's word. The thorn will make you more aware of the enemy, the devil. You must understand that. But we must, in the midst of our thorns, we must receive the grace of God. One of those thorns is grace. Because may I tell you today, that's the grace that God's able to take care of us. You've heard of that grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches available at Christ's expense. See, there's the grace that is a saving grace. May I tell you today, you cannot be saved but by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 makes it very clear. You're not saved by your works. You're not saved by baptism. You're not saved by being a good person. You're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. You're not saved because you're a member of a church. Religion will not save you. Only Jesus can save you. That is saving grace. But then there is the sufficient grace. The sufficient grace is the grace that keeps and strengthens us through any of our suffering. Paul was a great prayer warrior. Of all people who could have prayed a thorn out of his life, it could have been the Apostle Paul. I believe Paul was the greatest missionary we find in the Bible. Great prayer warrior. Some of those prayers he prays, we're looking at one. Wednesday night we're studying through Colossians. We're looking at a prayer in Colossians that he prays for the church at Colossae. He prays two prayers in the book of Ephesians. Great prayers. He was a great prayer warrior, folks. But for some reason, in God's plan and design, he didn't remove that thorn. I know some of you are saying today, well, that's not good news, Brother Jerry. Well, the good news is this. Notice what he tells him. My grace is sufficient for you. There is sufficient grace. Now is there saving grace? There is grace that's sufficient in every situation we face. God gives us, listen, I don't want you to miss this. He gives you a measure of grace according to the measure of what you're facing. The greater the problem, the greater the grace. the greater the situation, the greater the grace that God pours out on us. Yes, it is unmerited favor. There is saving grace. There is sufficient grace. But may I tell you today, there is strengthening grace. Because when we are weak, He will make us strong. See, we don't need a substitution for our thorn. We need a transformation. If God will transform us, as Pam sang today, we don't need the healing, we need the healer. And folks, listen to me. That's what we need. We need Jesus, His grace that is sufficient. And that one of those stones today that I hope you'll put in your memorial and you'll remember and you'll teach your children, you'll remind them of the grace of God that was sufficient for you. No matter what you faced, He was with you. The grace of God that is sufficient in every situation. Well, my time's almost up. I'm not going to overpreach today, but I have one more. It's going to be a short one. May I tell you, the next stone is His guidance. We used to sing an old song, God leads His dear children alone. You remember that song? It says, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night seasons and all the day long. God leads His dear children alone. Now I tell you, one of those stones is guidance. Where would we be without the guidance of God? Say, well, what would you say for that? What verse was that? Well, let me give you a verse. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Listen to it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, know Him or acknowledge Him. And what will He do? He will direct, He will guide, He will direct your path. And literally, the Hebrew reads there, He will make your path straight. See, the truth of the matter is some of us are going like this. Whoop, 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 or up and down, or over here and over here. Let me tell you something. The guidance of God, when we do our part, He does His part. When we trust in Him with all of our heart, when we lean not on our understanding, when we know Him, whom to know is life and life everlasting, then He will make our path straight. The guidance of God. I'm going to finish this sermon tonight. I hope you'll be here. So I'm going to get those 12 stones in. Because I believe every one of those stones are important for us to remember, church, and for us to teach our children. I hope you'll jot these down. And you'll rehearse them with your children as they go through difficult times in their life. You'll remind them of the power of God, of the presence of God, of the provision of God, of the guidance of God, of the grace of God, of all these things we've looked at, that you would remind them every time. He told them, every time your children will ask, what do these stones mean? You tell them. That was the time that God brought us over the Jordan. For some here today, you're in Egypt still. And you know the good news? You don't have to stay in Egypt. You don't have to stay in bondage to yourself and sin, Satan. You can be delivered by the power of God through faith. And I want to invite you to come today, and there's going to be pastors here at the front. I'm going to invite you to take one of them by the hand. All you need to say is, I need Jesus. Say, I need Jesus. Because see, Jesus is sufficient. He died on the cross for you. He loves you today. And if you'll just turn from your sin, repent, and turn to him, he will forgive you of every sin that you committed up to today. Wow. Think about that. That's why we call it the gift of eternal life. That's a gift, isn't it? That he would forgive you of every sin that you've ever committed. And he'll give you a brand new start. Come and take a pastor by the hand today and say, Pastor, that's what I need. I need Jesus. I need a brand new start. Others here today, God is leading you to be a part of this fellowship. Some have already invited Jesus in your life and you've never been baptized. Now, baptism does not save you, but baptism is the first act of obedience. Maybe you need to come today and take a pastor by the hand and say, you know what? I've been saved, but I haven't been baptized. I need to be baptized in obedience to the command of Jesus. Others here today, your letter is somewhere else, another church. God's led you to Lane Prairie Baptist Church. This is the church he wants you to be a part of. He has guided you to this place, and I want to encourage you to come today and join this church. We're not a perfect church, I can tell you that up front. But we are a church that loves the Lord and loves people and believes in prayer. And we reach our community with the good news of the gospel. I invite you to come be a part of our church today. But I pray for that one here today that's struggling with the thorn that's in your life. And you're saying, oh, I don't know if I can bear it any longer. You can with God's help. But if you need prayer, we'll have people up here to pray for you today. We'll be glad to pray for you this day. Let's stand.